In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation, through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
Paul Lanteri,
pray for us.
St. Ambrose,
pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe, all God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Turning to the disciples in private, he said, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but did not see, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test him and said, 'Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' He said in reply, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' He replied to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening. What I'd like to do today is I'd like to talk about the Immaculate Conception. You can hold on to your copies, but I think that today, if I didn't speak about the Immaculate Conception, I'd be derelict in my devotion to Mary. So I'm going to talk about that today. And somewhat off the cuff, it's a topic that I love. And I'd like to just give you a few ideas on this. And then I've got the evening mass. I've got one mass, and I have another mass, Sandra's in between that. I've got that perseverance, praise the Lord. Okay, so let's talk about this as much as we can. It's such a beautiful, beautiful privilege. No? And I purposely chose Luke chapter 10 because Immaculate Conception really means, Luke 10, is that there's no one that loved God with all of her heart, mind, strength, soul, being more than Mary. So I think that gospel passage, you're not going to hear it tomorrow, but I think you could easily apply that gospel passage to Mary because her love was total. It was complete. And all the virtues, I will sometimes ask people, what is Mary's greatest virtue? People will say humility, purity, and they're great virtues, but they're not hitting the nail on the head. The greatest virtue of Mary is her love. Okay? The greatest virtue for the Protestants is faith. The greatest virtue for Catholics is charity. Huge difference. No? Faith comes before charity in order, but charity is the greatest of all virtues. So Mary loved God with all of her heart, mind, soul, strength, her whole being. And I think you should beg for that grace. Sometime tonight and tomorrow, ask Mary to give you the grace to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, strength, and being. Okay, who goes to purgatory? Those who are not perfected in love. Did you know that? That's purgatory. Those who have a love that's imperfect, see you later, purgatory. Those whose love is perfect, heaven. Therefore, you want to avoid purgatory, do you? If you want to avoid purgatory, hey, love Mary. And beg for that grace. If you love God. I give somewhat of a very earthy analogy, but our spiritual life is like a magic mountain roller coaster. It is. Up, down, up, down, up, down, down, up. Okay? Well, like, if you say this in California, the New Yorkers call it a teeter-totter. Subir baja in Spanish, no? What kind of life is kind of like that, no? Worst thing that ever comes when you're in the playground is when the kid gets up off the teeter-totter, right? It happened to me more than once in New York. Probably my first trauma, right? But we're kind of like the teeter-totter, we're kind of like the Montaña Rusa, in Spanish, the... Well, Mary was like a rocket that went right to the moon. Straight line. Where? Undulation. We can go down and up, down and up. But would you like to get in that rocket with Mary tonight? Or do you want to go to Magic Mountain? You get in the mountain. Get in the rocket and go with Mary. So Mary never altered or vacillated in her ascending. So from her Immaculate Conception all the way up until her assumption to heaven, it was a constant growing in the love for the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Constant. I find that fascinating because when she was conceived, she was already without sin. But her love, her charity kept growing. That's why the mystics say that Mary basically, she died of love. He said her love was so intense that her body could not keep that love anymore and her soul just flew to heaven. That's what Maria Greda and the mystics will actually present Mary passing from this life to the next. Did she die? And there's an opinion. Most theologians say that she did die, not of original sin, of course, but died of love for God. Would you like to die that way? Yes. Die of love for God. That should be our ideal. Die of love for God. Okay, so let's try to give you a succinct theological explanation of this great privilege, and then how can we apply this to our lives? There are four Marian dogmas, and another one in the making. Another one in the making. The four Marian dogmas would be Mary's Immaculate Conception. Second would be Mary's Perpetual Virginity. Mary was virgin before the birth of Christ, during the birth, and after. Then you have Mary's Divine Maternity. Mary is the Mother of God, the Theotokos. And you have the last of Marys, the Marian dogmas, which is the Assumption, proclaimed by Pope Pius XII in November 1st, 1950. And the other one in the making, this took some of you off guard, but I'll mention in passing, is Mark Miravalle, who's a professor at Franciscan, Steubenville. He's been trying to push this the past decade or more. My mother has been trying to promote it the past two decades, no? She's a real prophet, huh? And it's three Marian truths in one. And this you can find in the Dogmatic Constitution Lumen Gentium, Chapter 8, which, according to many, is the most important document in Vatican II. So there are three truths in one. That would be Mary as mediatrix of all graces. And all the graces come to us, come through Mary. Then you have Mary as co-redemptrix. That means that Jesus is the only redeemer. But Mary collaborated in the redemption of the world. Very interesting. What were the first encyclicals of John Paul II? We have a few people have your doctorate in ecclesiology, right? Yes, Marta? Okay. Redemptor Hominus. Redemptor Hominus, Christ the Redeemer of man, Divus in Misericordia, God is rich in mercy, Afflatus Spiritus, which was on the Holy Spirit. Then, I think one of Lupe's favorites, Mater Redemptoris, right? Okay, which would be Mary, the Mother of the Redeemer. So you have those four documents. What are they? To the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and on Mary. Interesting, huh? So the first one would be dedicated to Jesus, the Redeemer of man, and God the Father, rich in mercy, then the Holy Spirit, and Mary, Mater Redemptoris. Mary is the Mother of the Redeemer. So the pontificate of John Paul II was very Marian, but also very Trinitarian and very Christological, and a pontificate filled with mercy. And the last dimension of the fifth doctrine would be Mary as Lupe. What does that mean? Mary, help of Christians. So those three titles are actually found in Lumen Gentium. Mary is the mediatrix of all graces, Mary is a co-redeemer, and Mary is coadjutrix, means Mary who is there to help us in our difficult moments, in our times of need. She's present to help us. Amen? Yeah. Well, then let's go back to the doctrine, the feast that we celebrate today. And that is the Immaculate Conception. The Immaculate Conception was always believed in the church tradition, but it was not defined as a dogma. Dogma means it's a revealed truth that the Catholic Church has proclaimed officially. You have to believe, otherwise we're not Catholic. And that was proclaimed by Pope Pius IX in 1854. The papal bull, that we can read tonight, Ineffabilis Deus, which is God is ineffable, if you know your Latin. God is ineffable in creating Mary. So it was Pope Pius IX that proclaimed this, 1854. Now, very interesting connection is I will never promote a Marian apparition. It does not have the stamp of approval of Holy Mother Church. Never. And never going to promote Bayside. Forget it. It's a pseudo-mystic and it's wrong. That's from New York. Bayside, no? It's false. So I would never promote a Marian apparition that does not have the stamp of approval. But if it's approved by church, I mean, you're not obliged to accept it. As long as you accept the deposit of faith and divine revelation after the last writing of John the Evangelist, the Book of Revelation, that's enough for you. But I think that it's foolhardy not to accept the approved Marian apparitions. Because Mary's not going to be teaching anything new. No, Mary does. She's reaffirming what the Bible and Jesus has already said. Mary's not going to be contradicting Jesus. Do you think she'd do that? Her last words were, do whatever he tells you, right? Do whatever he tells you. So I find this fascinating that this Marian dogma was proclaimed in between, sandwiched in between two of the greatest Marian apparitions. Well, one is, I would say, the top three. Another one is maybe less known to you, but it's I consider it to be an underestimated Marian apparition. And maybe some of you have never heard, but I consider it to be super important. So it's 1854, we're going to have two apparitions, one in 1830, another one's going to be in 1858, and it's going to be in the same country, and it's going to be in Nairobi? No. It's going to be in France. Okay, what are these two apparitions? The first, 1830, is Our Lady appears. She appears in a humble convent of the Visitation Nuns. The Visitation Nuns was founded by, Martha, you know, St. Vincent de Paul. And there was a nun in that convent, very humble, simple, but very holy nun. Her name was Catherine Labouré. In English, Catherine Labouré. What was she doing? Good thing to sleep when you should be sleeping, right? She was in her bed asleep. And she had a visitor. Came into her room, touched her, and woke her up and said, hey, get up. What? What? Get up. Get dressed, and someone is waiting for you in the chapel. So still with sleep in her eyes, probably thinking that she was just dreaming, but it wasn't a dream. It was an angel that led her into the convent chapel. And who was waiting there?
Mary.
The Blessed Mother was waiting there. And the Blessed Mother in Fatima is above an om tree, standing above an om tree. This one, in France, she likes to sit down.
Yeah.
La Solette, right? She likes to sit down. Where was she sitting? She was sitting in the presidential chair of the priest. You're sitting in the chair that the priest sits in. And what did she do? I think you'd be afraid, wouldn't you? A little bit afraid. She said, "Don't be afraid. Come closer. Come closer. Come closer. Come closer." A little bit closer, and she falls to her knees, and she does something that I don't think you have in the history of all the approved Marian apparition. She actually puts her hands in Mary's lap. I don't think there's any apparition where the seer actually touched Mary. So she actually touched Mary, placing her hands in Mary's lap. And then what goes on there? They have a loving conversation between mother and daughter. I invite all of you to do that within the next 24 hours. Imitate her. Try to do that. Try to kneel down before her, sit next to her, sit in front of her, place your head over her heart, and talk to her. Tell her everything that's going on in your life. Tell her your joys. Tell her your sorrows. Tell her your victories. Tell her your failures. Tell her your struggles. Tell her your temptations. Tell her your fears. Tell her your worries. Talk to her a little bit about your past. Talk to her about your present. Talk to her about the ghosts of the future that you're afraid to encounter. Tell her everything. That's the whole thrust of the Marian consecration we're going to be doing tomorrow. Right, Mary? Is we want to be like Catherine Laboure. We want to have this total trust and confidence in Mary. And I believe that there's one element of consecration in Mary that is sometimes overlooked, is that we can open up and tell Mary our great suffering, our crosses, our sufferings, our trials. I think that we kind of jump over that. We feel that's not something that really concerns Mary. It very much does. Once I get to heaven, before Mary, I'd like to ask her and St. Catherine Laboure, what went on in that conversation? Of all the Marian apparitions, I would really like to know what went on in that conversation. What do you think went on? It's a good question, right? Well, we don't know what went on, but definitely the sister got up filled with consolation, right? So you have this intimate dialogue with the Blessed Mother. We say that beautiful prayer, "Hail, Holy Queen, Mother, mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Mary fills us with life, with sweetness, with hope. In the midst of the trials of life, Mary's there to lift her hand to fill us with life and sweetness and hope. Maybe you don't know, but there was a subsequent encounter. So she meets Mary again. And this time Mary says, what I want you to do is, Mary shows her two sides of the same coin, so to speak. She shows Mary a medal. Medal, M-E-D-A-L, not M-E-T-A-L. A medal. And the medal has two sides. And she told this nun to have this medal coined and made and diffused and spread and propagated. Now, to defend women now, to defend women, they say that women can't keep a secret. They say that. She kept this a secret for 40 years. Read the apparition. It's a fascinating apparition. I want to reread again. You believe that, Grace?
Yeah.
A long time, huh? It's like, okay, Grace, I'm going to tell you a secret and you can reveal it in 40 years, okay? You can tell Martha in 40 years, okay? Martha, you have to keep it for another 40 years. You can tell Imelda, okay? Now, with respect to the medal itself, if you love Mary, do you people love Mary?
Yes.
Poco or mucho?
Mucho.
Oh. If you love Mary, you want to talk to Mary. You want to honor Mary. You want to try to imitate Mary. But also, if you love Mary, you want to make Mary known. And I said in my talk in St. Bonaventure yesterday, I want the whole world to love Mary. Right, Mary? That was my talk yesterday. I want the whole world. I'm an oblate of the Virgin Mary. My charism is, I belong to Mary. That's what oblatio means. What does it mean? It's an offering, total offering. You're coming to an oblate parish, you're called to be oblates too. Amen?
Amen.
You're called to follow in our charism. Amen? Yeah. So I don't get tired of trying to follow in the footsteps of Kolbe, Maximilian Kolbe. Kolbe loved the Immaculata. So this was Kolbe's favorite, probably favorite feast day would be today. He loved the Immaculata. He formed the Knights of the Immaculata, fighting against Masonry. That was a big heresy back in Europe, back in the early 20th century. Still exists, but less so. But he really fought tooth and nail against the Masons. But Kolbe, when he traveled, he would carry with him miraculous medals. He'd have them in his pocket. And he, what do you do in a train? Be traveling in a train, trains in Poland as well as in Rome, because he got his doctorate in Rome. He would pull out a medal and he would give it to some person. And then he'd give the person, and he used that medal as a catechetical tool to explain Marian devotion. I think for Christmas, you should all ask Santa Claus. Next it was Saint Nick, right? In any other story, St. Nick, he threw the money in the window so that the women wouldn't have to give themselves to prostitution. ask Saint Nick not to throw a bag filled with gold and silver. Ask Saint Nick to throw a bag filled with 500 miraculous medals through your window, okay? So all of you have a storage of miraculous medals. Amen? You got it, Martha?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a plentiful storage of miraculous medals. And when you're traveling among friends, wherever you go, always have a storage of miraculous medals. And give it. Give it up free of charge. But I haven't finished. Give it out, but offer that person, give that person an explanation of the medal. You might even have a written copy, but see if you can just off the cuff, spontaneously be able to explain the meaning. So next time you go to Vons and you're getting your bananas, I think you like bananas, okay? When you're standing in line, you got a line of maybe five people, you can touch that person. Hello. Happy feast day. Here's a beautiful medal for you. It's a medal of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I'm a Jehovah's Witness. Well, Mary loves you too, okay? Give the Jehovah's Witness. Probably is going to be a non-practicing Catholic. That's the biggest religious group in the country, especially in California. Maybe, here's something for you. Happy feast day. What feast day? It's Immaculate Conception. What's that? Thank you for asking, okay? Thank you for asking. I was hoping you would ask. Then you go into a long theological discourse on the Immaculate Conception, starting with Pius IX, and then you give that person the miraculous medal. And the person says, well, it's got a front and back. What is this whole idea of the front? Thank you for asking me, I will tell you. First of all, you can see there around the medal inscribed are a few words. The person said, the letters are pretty small, can you read it for me? Thank you very much. This one, it's actually written in French, but I'm a polyglot. Do you know what a polyglot is? Remember when I was in Italy, this French Canadian said, you know what a polyglot is? And there was an American that said, I don't know that word. Well, what is a polyglot? It's a person that knows more than one language. And he said, you know what a monoglot is? No, an American. The French Canadians, they picked up languages like that, and the Americans were kind of plowing through trying to learn the new language, no? But it's actually inscribed in the medal and says, O Mary, what? Conceived. Without sin. Say it again. Once again, Grace didn't hear you. O Mary, conceived without sin. You hear that, Grace? Okay, good. Beautiful prayer. Hopefully, if that's not one of your short prayers starting tonight, that's going to be one of your short prayers. I love that prayer. You're tempted? Pray that prayer. Someone going through a tough time? Say that prayer. You ought to form even a little rosary of that. You know, rosary in honor of St. Therese. Wouldn't it be beautiful? Form a little rosary of that. We're saying that maybe, who knows, maybe you're saying that 12 times. No? Beautiful. No? Now what it means is this. Mary conceived without sin. That's Immaculate Conception, right? could be a short, more pithy, concise definition than that. Mary conceived without sin. That's Immaculate Conception. But it doesn't stay there. Otherwise, that would be a truncated sentence, an incomplete sentence, okay? The closing clause would be, pray for us, however, of course, to thee. So Mary wants us to pray to her. And the whole idea of consecration to Mary is, it's like the Greek poet, in him we live and move and have our being. In Mary we live and move and have our being. We're going to be living constantly in the presence of God, but also constantly in the presence of the Immaculata. Amen?
Amen.
Then you have an image of Our Lady of Grace. Okay? Our Lady of Grace. I think Marta and Imelda and Raquel and Gerardo were all brought up and raised under the La Mirada, or the loving gaze, of Our Lady of Guadalupe, right? Is that true, Raquel?
Yeah.
Gerardo? Marta? Imelda? And if you're Mexican, obvious. When I was brought up and raised, I didn't even know that existed. No offense, no? I was brought up and raised under the gaze of Our Lady of Grace. Maybe you were too, Mary. My mom had this big statue of Our Lady of Grace. And what really impressed me is that she was stepping on this snake. The snake had an apple in his mouth. I remember as a little kid, ah! Kind of scary, no? I hadn't read Genesis 3:15 yet, so I didn't have my degree in theology yet. I thought, that's pretty cool, no? And then, Mom, you know, Our Lady, you know, the devil tempts you. Oh, yeah? What do I do when the devil tempts? Pray to Mary. Thanks, Mom. So you have Our Lady of Grace. And if you have a big medal, sometimes medals are so small you can't see it. And Mary's standing on the globe. Makes me think of Orlando, Florida, where my brother lives. Our Lady of the Universe. Anybody ever go to Orlando, Florida? You ever hear of Orlando, Florida? Okay. You have Our Lady of the Universe there. Right there. And Mary's standing on the globe. She's Our Lady of the Universe. And that refers to Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. A woman clothed with the sun, with the 12 stars overhead, standing on the moon. That refers actually to Revelation chapter 12, which is the very end of the Bible. So the Bible starts with Mary, Genesis 3:15. The woman will crush the head. And the Bible actually ends with the woman clothed with the sun, with the moon underneath her feet, and with the 12 stars overhead. So the world begins with a woman and ends with a woman. That woman is Mary, who is the second Eve. Amen? So Mary stepping on the head of the serpent, that is symbolic of Mary and the two standards. We have the first Eve, who brought us death. We have the second Eve, who brought us life. Maybe you heard my homily in Spanish at 6:15, okay? Giving a contrast between the woman who brought us death by her no to God, and the woman who brought us life by her yes to God. The woman, by her disobedience, brought all of us original sin. The woman who, by her obedience, brought us the fruit of her womb, which is Jesus Christ, who gave us his body and blood from the cross, as Mary, the second Eve, stands underneath the cross. Then you flip the coin, and what do you have? Have you ever looked at the coin, or has it just been a... You have the 12 stars. Once again, there you have Revelation chapter 12, as I just said already two times. You have the woman of the apocalypse. Now some people say, well, the Catholic Church, the Rosary, where in the Bible do you find the mystery of the Rosary? You want to know the joyful mysteries? Luke 1 and 2. Yeah. Sorrowful mysteries? You're going to find them in Luke chapter 26. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 26. You want to find the glorious mysteries? Okay, you're going to find the resurrection in Matthew 28. The ascension? Acts chapter 1. Coming of the Holy Spirit? Acts chapter 2. Well, what about the last two mysteries? Ah, Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. You got both of those last mysteries. You've got the woman clothed with sun. And that's the assumption. And the woman with the crown of stars, guess what that is? That's the coronation. So there you have the 20 mysteries of the Rosary are present in the Bible. Either explicitly or implicitly. You have to know how to read in between the lines and interpret the Bible as good Catholics should. Amen? As good Catholics should. Then what do you have? I'm not looking in the middle because I got it here. You got a big cross. Jesus saved us through the cross, right? Well, what do you have underneath the cross? There's a big M. Now, Fulton Sheen, here, your friend, would always, before he wrote something, would always put JMJ. Did you know that? Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. What about JP2? You would have the crossbar, but it would be like this. Can you see me? You see what I have? Is that the crossbar is extending much further to the right. And what's below that? The M. So what do we have that? We have totus tuus ego sum, but you got two Marian truths, which are John chapter 19, verse 5, which is, grace, behold, woman, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother. From that moment, the beloved disciple took her into his house. So what do we have there? Mary's spiritual maternity is becoming confirmed as Jesus hangs on the cross and he gives John to Mary. By giving John to Mary, he's giving John to every one of us. Did you know that? All of us are sons and daughters of Mary. They're from the cross. That's the interpretation of that medal. You have some theology when you're explaining to that Jehovah Witness that's looking at you with jaundiced eyes and very cynically and skeptically. Give them good Catholic theology. Mary is our spiritual mother. Did Mary have other children?
No.
Biologically, no, but spiritually, millions upon millions, among which are you and me. Huh? Amen? Then what else? You've got Mary underneath the cross. You've got Mary as co-redemptrix. And I repeat what I already said, Mary's co-redemptrix, is that Jesus is the only redeemer. And as the Protestants point out, there's only one mediator between God and man. But Mary is associated deeply in the Paschal mystery in the redemption. As Mary stood beneath the cross, what did she do? As Jesus was saying, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit, giving every drop of his blood that was given to him, humanity was given him by Mary. Every drop of his blood came from the most pure person of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So as Jesus is offering himself to God the Father, what is Mary doing? Mary also is offering Jesus Christ to God the Father for the salvation of the whole world. That's Mary is co-redemptrix. That's what it means. Christ is the only Redeemer. But Mary is so intimately connected with Christ that she was suffering so much that she offered Jesus to God the Father. And that's why St. Alphonsus says that Mary also was a martyr, known as the Queen of Martyrs. What Jesus suffered in his body, Mary suffered in her soul, especially there beneath the cross. She was acting in a certain sense like a priest. What does a priest do? Priest is the victim who offers the victim. Mary was offering Jesus the victim for the salvation of all the world. So in a certain sense, we want to thank Jesus for saving us, but we want to thank Mary for collaborating with Jesus in the salvation of the world. And it all started with the Immaculate Conception. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the coin, going back to the medal. There are two other very important images that you have on the coin. You see Dana's looking at it, right? And it is, below, you can see two hearts, right? Am I right or wrong? You've got two hearts. They are the hearts of who? Grace, Jesus, and Mary. Okay, let's see if you can differentiate the two. One heart, you have a small medal, you can't see it, but it's one is surrounded by thorns. Another one actually has a sword piercing it. So the one pierced by the sword is who? Mary. That's Mary. Go back to the biblical origin of that is Luke chapter 2. It's the fourth glorious mystery in which the prophet Simeon says, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many. He will be a sign that is contradicted, and a sword will pierce your heart so that the thoughts of many will be revealed." That happened when Jesus was 40 days old in the arms of Mary. It came to full fruition 33 years later. 33 years later. When Jesus was hanging on the cross. And most specifically, when Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," in Longinus, the man with the sword, what did he do? Kind of like a javelin thrower, goes, shh. And that lance or sword goes right into the heart of Jesus, from which blood and water came gushing forth. Did that hurt Jesus a lot? Jonah? No, he's already dead. Okay, dead men don't suffer, do they? So Jesus didn't feel that. But who felt it? That went right into the heart of Mary. Any other mother would have fainted. That's why Zeffirelli and the Protestant films present Mary swooning, right? Swooning and fainting underneath the cross. Mary didn't stop at mater. Jacobi di Todi, no? The beautiful hymn of Jacobi di Todi, the Italian, no? Stop at mater. Mary stood at the foot of the cross. What a valiant woman. A weaker woman would have fainted, but Mary stood at the foot of the cross suffering with Jesus. Suffering for the church that's going through a tough time now, right? Suffering for the church. And the other heart, surrounded by thorns, is the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Why do you have the thorns? The purpose of the consecration of California today and tomorrow is to beg Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, through the Immaculate Conception, forgiveness for all the sins of California. Think there are a few? What do you think? To beg mercy to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, through the Immaculate Conception, begging for mercy for the many sins of the world, but especially our state. The Immaculate Conception. Mary was conceived without the stain of original sin. As the poet Wordsworth said, she is our tainted nature's solitary boast. A Protestant, great poet, Wordsworth. Our tainted nature's solitary boast. What is one of the fruits? So during the whole course of the life of Mary, she never committed even the slightest venial sin. What is one of the fruits that will emanate from our devotion to the Immaculate Conception? Mary will share with us, at least to a limited degree, her Immaculate Conception, and she will be pulling us away from sin. She'll be detaching us from sin. She'll be cutting away the bonds. She'll be snapping the chains. And she'll be giving us the grace experience, the liberty of the sons and daughters of God. Amen? And she'll be giving us the grace to be living more and more in her heart and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So that we can be living in the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We can be experiencing the fruits of redemption, which starts with the Immaculate Conception. When we die, all of us will be taken to heaven. And as Father Larry says in one of his beautiful reflections, he prays that all of us one day will be a jewel, a gem in the crown of Mary, contemplating the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit for all eternity. So happy feast day, and I pray that you experience a lot of peace and joy as we honor the Immaculate Mary. Amen. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Say it three times. O Mary, conceived without sin. O Mary, conceived without sin. O Mary, conceived without sin. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.